He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. No, it's Thursday already. It's the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Maybe we should name the show the Best Semiconductor Stock Now show, as NVIDIA just unbelievable earnings report after hours, which we'll get to in a bit, which has created a split market here today. The NASDAQ is up 154 points right now. That's a 1.2% gain. It was up a lot more, though, in the after hours, so we're seeing some selling a little bit into this big burst higher in a lot of these chip stocks. The Dow, on the other hand, is down 47 to 32,752. The Dow's down around its 200-day moving average right now, which is a little bit shaky, I guess. But, you know, it continues to watch for that some kind of agreement coming out of Washington, D.C. The S&P's up 24 points today, 0.6%. Crude oil's down $2. 72.21. Looks like the short sellers are back after Saudi's warning yesterday chased some of them out. The 10-year is at 3.77. It's up 5 basis points today. We've got Bitcoin down $23 to $26,379, and gold is down 15 to $19.48. So welcome to today's The Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And the big news of the day is NVIDIA.
Yeah, it's the NVIDIA show, right? I guess that's what happens when you on your earnings call, like you always talk about it. You know, the stocks are forward-looking and forward earnings-looking, and so whenever, I guess, when you raise your revenue revenue guidance, you know, 57% or so from $7 billion to $11 billion, you get a 25% up at the moment. I guess you get a 25% pop in the stock, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's not unusual to get a pop like that in a small or a mid-cap. But to get a pop like that in a mega-cap stock, man, I don't know that I've seen that in my entire career.
We saw Facebook go the other way, right? A few, probably a year or so ago now, lost a bunch of value in one day. But, yeah, this would be, I saw some numbers that, you know, if this kind of holds up, it'd be the largest growth of a company, ever.
Of this size.
And the fact that, the dollar amount, because it's growing, you know, like you said, 25% off of a big market cap already.
It is our largest position at our firm.
Yeah.
And it is now $943 billion, closing in on $1 trillion. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but that's also lifting a lot of the other chip stocks here.
I think I saw your note this morning. AMD was up over 8%, and even ASML, I think, was 5%.
Yep. Some of the those are the big three, in my opinion. Yeah. And, you know, I just look back over the last 24 years of my career, I don't think there's been a better sector in the market overall than the semiconductor sector.
Somebody told me today said look at the market cap for Intel, and I think Intel is like 125, maybe 125 billion dollar company, something like that.
It's been left in the silicon dust.
Yeah, for comparison purposes, somebody sent it to me, and I looked, and I was like, wow, I would have thought they were a little bit bigger.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like eating, 120 billion market cap, right?
Eating NVIDIA's dust, silicon dust. Well, yesterday the market was just, look, we're going through a temporary, tug of war that affects the market from time to time. It shouldn't affect your long-term investing horizon, but It does cause pain in the short term. The Dow was down. Like yesterday, nothing was really up. The Dow was down 255. The NASDAQ yesterday was down 76. You've got the one-month T-bill all the way at 5.80. You know, if you want to make 1/12 of 5.80, what's that? About a half a percent. You can make about a half a percent on your money over the next 30 days if you think that the U.S. government is not going to default on its short-term debt. But they seem to be making no headway whatsoever as one side continues to call for an increase in revenue, in taxes, and the other side continues to call for spending cuts. And, you know, it's a philosophical debate. It's an ideological debate. It's a Democrat versus Republican debate. And as of now, I mean, both sides are have got their feet planted in the sand and not willing to move, not willing to budge.
Yeah, in the House, what, they're about to leave for the weekend, right, starting tomorrow, I believe.
Yes, you got a new, you've got a new presidential candidate throwing his hat into the ring. That comes as no surprise. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. On Twitter last night. I listened to it from start to finish. I didn't have the technical difficulty. I don't know where that was. I guess.
Yeah, I saw some places with the, you know, like almost like they were taking the video or the audio of it. But yes, you didn't happen to be. You probably weren't on one of the servers that had an, you know, that was having an issue.
Not.
I guess how that works. But.
And I enjoyed Elon Musk's comments. He had some wise cracks along the way. And he asked some good questions along the way. I guess, you know, it's good to have that forum. You know, I think nobody can deny that all of the presidential debates are just a waste anymore because you have a biased moderator. And you can't have just a debate that when you have a moderator that is partisan, how do you have a debate? So it's kind of nice to have this. We'll see. Where Twitter rooms goes, we know that Tucker Carlson is headed there. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a Twitter room at some point.
Yeah,
we do have a Stock Twits room where only Gunderson followers get, you know, some of my tweets there. But anyways, that was an interesting evening, to say the least, last night. Okay, now the Fed minutes came out yesterday. And I don't know. Did you see anything in there? I didn't have time to read them last.
You know, it's really, you know, it was kind of one of these things where almost, you know, everyone kind of almost seemed that, you know, they've gone, you know, far enough. And even for the ones that really didn't think maybe they thought we'd, you know, go another quarter point or half point higher. Who knows in terms of their you know forecast? But they all kind of acknowledged the fact that, you know, the regional bank crisis obviously. Has clamped down credit in the market, which is kind of part of kind of what the reasoning behind raising rates does as well. So it was almost like as you read it, it was almost like the regional bank crisis did some of their work for them, which would kind of lean you into the mix of a pause. Then the biggest problem was for them is understanding. What that what the banking crisis, right? You know how what kind of effect they know that a quarter point raise can have this particular effect, but it's harder to obviously quantify what what's going on in terms of regional banking.
Just like the Congress, the Fed is divided too. It seems like
right, yeah.
It seems like everything is divided in today's world. Okay, now so we've got default watch. This is going to be temporary. This is going to be resolved. And you're going to look back and say, you know, there was a buying opportunity in there. You know, this is one of those temporary things that comes along and everybody cries that the sky is falling, Chicken Little. It amazes me that, you know, people flee the market when temporary things come along. And then I guess they run back in like a chicken with their head cut off when it starts to move up again. So, but that's the nature of the beast. And a lot of these things you just have to ride out. There's just not much you can do. Q1 GDP, they did revise it upwards a little bit. And the previous estimate was 1.1, and now it's up to 1.3%. So, no negative quarter yet in the U.S., and no recession yet in the U.S. I saw Germany, however, had their second negative quarter in a row. So they are in what we call a, you know, by the terminology.
What we used to call a recession.
Right? Yeah, now we've changed it because we did have two negative quarters. And he said, well, that's, you know, that's old terminology.
Yeah, first quarter of 2022. Right?
Well, we'll come back. We'll talk about the U.S.'s credit rating with Fitch. We'll talk about the jobless claims and then NVIDIA's huge, huge report. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, June the 13th and June the 14th. Tuesday and Wednesday we'll be at the Radisson Blue in Bloomington, Minnesota, which that hotel is attached to the Mall of America. I mean, you walk out of the lobby and you're in the Mall of America. It's a pretty neat place. I love going there, and it's I'm anxious to get there. We'll go there, spend a few days. Haven't been there since before COVID, and we will be meeting with folks. If you'd like to set up an appointment with Barry and myself, you can call 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST, or you can send us a message through Gunderson Capital. com. I will have a featured stock of the week. I haven't decided on it yet. It will go out in my newsletter sometime Saturday.
It can't be. No, it can't be.
Well, it's kind of late for NVIDIA.
It can't be NVIDIA, right?
Have we written an article on NVIDIA in Seeking Alpha?
I think we have in the past. I know we mentioned it in the mentioned the name and have it as a secondary ticker, I think, in the in the most recent article that we wrote about AMD, simply because, right, the tailwinds of AI, and apparently no one knew. I don't know if NVIDIA even knew that that those tailwinds were going to be blowing so quickly and behind. So.
I mean, they raised their revenue estimates by an incredible number.
Yeah, I mean, and AMD's up 9% today off of off of that news as well. So it's all of our chip names are
ASM
should be the best chip stocks now.
ASML makes the machinery to make the chips. So, anyways,
looking at any of those charts are looking great. All of them look pretty constructive.
So. Demand for AI chips. Initial jobless claims come in less than expected once again.
Yeah.
Can we get those people in Massachusetts on track? They have like 30,000 or 40,000 false claims every month, these numbers off.
Yeah, which would mean that employment's even doing better, right?
Yeah.
Than shown. But, yeah, it was 229. Versus 250 expected, so it's been coming pretty far under. Continuing claims are still under 1.8 million, so that's another strong sign. And you haven't had, I don't think the 4-week moving average has changed much in jobless claims in the last handful of readings. So it's pretty. Pretty steady, and things remain, particularly when you add it with the GDP number today. You've got economy still cruising along. At least
now, here's the negative. Fitch places U.S.'s AAA rating on watch. Negative watch, okay? That's because of this debt ceiling that is approaching. The Federal Reserve sees downside risk to growth. That was in the FOMC minutes, but upside risk to unemployment. So they see maybe some stalling out here of our economy. Okay, so let's get to NVIDIA's report here. NVIDIA reported earnings $1.09. We said yesterday that I think it was 92 cents was the expectation. So they didn't really beat by that much. Their revenue came in at $7.19 billion for the quarter. That beat by $670 million. That's almost a 8 to 9% beat in revenue. I think the sales, the revenue numbers was
Well, and then they boosted their second quarter. So they came in at 7.19, and then they boosted the revenue for the next quarter to 11 billion, which is I think is almost a, what do I think it's like 57% increase from where they are now. That and that's coming, you know, folks saw this, you know, maybe kind of bake some of this into the stock, but you know, you thought those some of these things were going to happen further down the, you know, further down the pipeline, and you know, here it is already
it's
coming,
here.
You know,
AI
already coming
is
the next
here.
Quarter. Yeah.
NVIDIA approaches $1 trillion market cap. Wall Street praises jaw-dropping guidance. That's the word. That's the phrase they're using. Jaw-dropping guidance. And I saw a lot of comments last night. In fact, you know, it wasn't just me, but from other professional money managers saying, you know, look, I've been in the business for 40 years or 30 years or 20 years. I've never seen a mega cap stock trade like a penny stock like this, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking, I think the math earlier was around, you know, $300 billion in, you know, or in one move or $200 billion. It was in a one day move is pretty huge for a company that was already over, you know, was already a $600 billion company, if not more.
Now it's almost a trillion. Wedbush Securities analyst Dan Ives said the results and guidance are the single best indicator of demand for AI. Given the hype surrounding products and services like ChatGPT, which obviously is very much connected to Microsoft. For any investor calling this an AI bubble, we would point them to this NVIDIA quarter and especially guidance, which cements our bullish thesis around AI and speaks to the fourth industrial revolution now on the doorstep with AI. Isn't that something? They're calling it the fourth industrial revolution.
Yeah, kind of like equivalent of, I guess, you know, networking a bunch of computers together early in the late 90s, right, which is essentially became the Internet.
So let's just look at one of the AI ETFs, BOTS, B-O-T-Z. It's up 2.6%.
Well, and the thing is, you just don't know what it's going to become. Obviously, you know, it's one of these things where you, you know, all to create all this, you know, data and go through it. You know, you need all these chips to create it. So you got kind of an arms race in you know in putting all these things together. And then who knows who's going to actually win? The good news is that's why you use that picks and shovels approach, right, with the semiconductors, because then you don't have to pick a winner, right? Is it going to be you know, some you know, small AI firm here, or is it going to be, you know, Microsoft with ChatGPT? But you know, that's just kind of it's just interesting to see how it's all going to play out. But the, you know, the clear winners, at least at this point, are the chip makers, right?
Absolutely. Ives added that he's never seen a guidance range like this. You know, upping their guidance that much. He says that in an AI arms race being played out, it is clear the AI revolution is not going away and remains one of the most investable tech themes we have seen in decades. Despite the near-term macro backdrop, yeah, I mean, look, you've got the, you know, the Dow struggling. The Dow is down around its 200-day moving average right now, could break below it. And on the other hand, you've got this AI thing just exploding to the upside, which is pretty incredible. Bernstein analyst Stacey Raskin likened the results and guidance to the Big Bang. He reiterated his outperform rating. Listen, well, when we come back, you're not even going to believe this target price that they've gone to overnight. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the hyperbole is in today on NVIDIA. Listen to some of these price target hikes. Let me look at ours first, all right? Let's see where the Best Stocks Now app has NVIDIA, what our target price is. Okay, we do five-year target prices, which I think makes a whole lot more sense because it takes a lot of the volatility and the short-sightedness out of the picture. Our target price, we have 76% upside potential for NVIDIA. That's as of yesterday. I don't have my app open right now. I'll have that for you just here in a bit.
I'm getting to it. Yeah, it's 538.
We were way ahead of the analyst. That was before today's earnings report.
And of course, that's a five-year price target. It's hard to most analysts, it's hard to tell what their time frame is when they throw a target.
Well, there's two things that are going to change big time. Number one, the inputs into the price target. The earnings estimates for next year are currently at $6.10. Right. I would think that's going to go up somewhere in the $8 range, okay, if their sales forecast went up so much. And then number two, the growth rate. What are we using as a growth rate?
We're using a five-year of 21%.
21%. That could go up, too.
And an extra earnings estimate of 4.67, so that'll update.
That's going to go up also. So anyways, we're over 500 before yesterday. So J.P. Morgan, well, here's the first one. Bernstein goes from 300 to 475. Well, it's at 380 right now. It's at $380 per share. So, I mean, I've just never seen hikes like this to a target price. J.P. Morgan analyst has gone doubled, 250 to 500. One, it shows how far behind the curve they were to begin with.
Well, yeah, if you're at 250 and the stock started yesterday at, basically around 300.
So, if you put your trust and faith into these big Wall Street firms like J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Morgan Stanley, they're wrong more than they're right.
Well, it's like moving it. I mean, it's like, boating wise, it's like, it's like turning a battleship, right, or a Titanic versus
their big bureaucracy.
Being smaller and more nimble, right? You can you're able to maneuver around and keep up with a stock that's moving up this much
like
in one day.
Putting your trust in the U.S. government, to get something done. Anyways, J.P. Morgan, as of yesterday, they had their target price at 250. The stock was at 300 yesterday, so they were already way behind the curve. So today, J.P. Morgan analyst Harlan Sur gets out of bed and goes, oh, no, dang, we're way off. And they raise it to 500. They double their target price. Now, even worse than that, Craig Hallam analyst, Richard Shannon, got up this morning, and his target price was 190, okay?
190? How long has he
been
asleep?
The stock's at 300 yesterday.
How long has he been asleep?
And he goes from 190 to 500 today. So, look.
Go back to sleep now.
I've always said choose your gurus wisely. And this just points out how far off these guys can be. NVIDIA said it expects second quarter revenue to be $11 billion. You know what the expectation was? $7.1 billion. Okay, well, all right. Yeah. So they raised their revenue estimates. I'm going to do the math in my head here. Four divided by seven. That's about 57%. That's exactly what you said. The second quarter revenue. No, yeah. We're not going to do $7 billion in sales. We're going to do $11 billion in sales. And how much is that going to drop to the bottom line?
Right. Yeah. What's the margin on that? If you're, you know, and that's what you're doing as an analyst, right? For like a I expect margins to be 50%. Well, then of course, right? And essentially, that's a 25% increase to earnings at that point.
But. Now, there's another stock that we're totally leaving out of this conversation so far, which is also a big. Now, listen, we own NVIDIA. I run five portfolios. One's a bond portfolio, so you can count that out. You know, we wouldn't own NVIDIA in a bond portfolio, and I don't think NVIDIA has a bond. And I also run the emerging growth portfolio, which NVIDIA wouldn't qualify for because NVIDIA was an emerging growth story a long time ago. This is micro cap, small caps, etc. Having said that, we first bought NVIDIA in our ultra growth portfolio as we started to tiptoe back into growth stocks at the beginning of this year, okay? Our NVIDIA position in the ultra growth portfolio, we bought it on January the 18th, and it's up 116% now. That ultra growth portfolio, I haven't finished the numbers yet, but it's up almost 20% right now for the year, and it's done pretty well against the S&P 500 since we started it, okay? It's doubled the total world results. So we own NVIDIA in the ultra growth portfolio. We own it in the premier large cap growth portfolio. And number three, we own it in our dividend portfolio because it pays a little dividend. Now, the stock we're leaving out of this conversation is another one that is maybe one of our top five positions. Who makes NVIDIA's chips?
TSM.
Who do they take the design to and say, here, we've designed this chip that does AI in a flash and blah, 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 and all this gaming graphics. Here, Taiwan Semi, we need you to make the chips.
And they're screaming today, too.
It's screaming. It's up 11.1%, and it pays a dividend. Okay, so you can own IBM. Go ahead. I don't care. IBM pays a 5.5% dividend yield. AT&T pays a 6.5% dividend yield. Taiwan only pays 1.5%. But you've also got growth potential here. When you're really the only maker, there's other small ones, but when it comes to making chips.
Market share-wise, I think it's close to 70, 80% or so. It's huge.
Yes. So Taiwan Semi is just exploding to the upside. And then out there on the outskirts of town is AMD, which is up 9%. So you've got four of our large. We're having one of our best days. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, the old man hasn't lost it. I've been in it for 24 years. I would say this is one of the best. Now, we had some huge back in 99 and 2000 during that NASDAQ bubble. We had a quarter back then when we were up 142%. But those were some heady days. We had a big position in iOmega back then that really drove some big quarters. So anyways, there you go. AI is here. It has arrived. We've been talking about it for years. There's a lot of downside to AI. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with AI. But in the meantime, the nuts and bolts, the picks and the shovels and the Levi's, right, that fueled the gold miner. The gold miners never found much, but the Levi makers and the picks and shovel makers.
The general store made it, right?
So Taiwan Semi, NVIDIA, and ASM Lithography, and you got to count Microsoft in the mix because they're the ones out with ChatGPT. Microsoft is up 3% today. Microsoft says that China, now, this Cold War between us and China Now, I don't believe NVIDIA. I don't think China is getting NVIDIA's chips or AMD's chips.
Yeah,
I'm
that
not
had
sure.
Been announced. Yeah, that had already been announced a while back, and NVIDIA, they took a hit for that, right, in terms of their the chart. You can see a bump there when that happened, but obviously, there's, like we said there, there's some other demand to replace it, right? I mean.
And ASM, they're not selling. They're out of Holland. They're not selling the Netherlands. They're not selling to China either. They make the equipment. Microsoft says Chinese state-sponsored hackers attacked critical infrastructure at Microsoft. So it seems like almost China is lashing out, angry that they can't have access to this technology and these chips that enable this technology. And, you know, I've said it for the last two decades plus that underneath this whole information superhighway, it's run by semiconductors and chips and software. And that's
electric cars, right? If that's the route we're going, a lot more chips and
well,
electric
and all
cars,
the automation in the cars, autonomous driving and everything. Well, okay, we've talked about one stock so far. Well, maybe a couple others we threw in there. We'll come back and see what else is moving. And there's a few other earnings reports that I want to bring to your attention. This is Bill Gunnarsson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. There is a report I just saw coming across on Twitter. U.S. House Leader Scalise, one of the leaders, of course he's on the Republican side, the issues are narrowing in the debt limit talks, and that's coming from the Washington Post. Okay, so that could be good news. I think they're pretty motivated to get something done before the three-day holiday, which just makes logical sense because, you know, you're getting you're 6 days away from the so-called soft deadline. And I think they'd like to get this behind them so they can enjoy their whatever they get, 12 days. I don't know what they get. I get 3 days.
Yeah, hot dogs, hamburgers, a parade, something.
Yeah, they don't want to be haggling over tax hikes and spending cuts.
Yeah, they got to go back to their. They got to go back to their. You know, to their respective district and shake hands, kiss babies, and do that part of the job. They're always, especially in the House, it's like you're always campaigning, right? It's only a 2 year gig, but look at the four. You see the 1 month Treasury note.
5.8 this morning.
Yes, yeah, down 6 basis points now. It's the only, you know, really the only one in red. Everything else is all the other notes are up. So that's kind of what I've been using as a gauge, meaning a little more optimism when that number's going down. So at least it's holding at the moment. So hopefully that optimism continues and they do kind of figure it out and get it behind them and go forward.
Well, today is a day of the haves and have-nots, okay? Listen to this. This is really incredible. Intel is down 6.3% today.
Wow.
Now, there's no news out of Intel. It's down 6.3% today. I think that's just a sign of how important is management, okay? On the one hand, you've got Lisa Su at AMD, and you've got, I can't think of the CEO's name at NVIDIA right now offhand, but then you've got Intel, which has just somehow been badly, badly left behind in all of this. I got to tell you another horrible chart. It's just horrible. Target. Has Target made a big mistake? Like, but I see if you go to any supermarket, at the entrance, they got all this Bud Light cases of it on sale. And, man, Target is falling apart here. as we get ready to head to Minneapolis, home of Target.
Yeah, well, Best Buy at least had a decent.
Down.
Yeah, Best Buy at least had a decent report. It doesn't sound great in when you put it next to NVIDIA, but it was up. I think it was, Best Buy was up about 3% today, so that was.
Yeah, it's losing steam.
That's another. That's another Minneapolis
yes,
company,
it is.
I believe. So.
And then the third one that's getting hit today is Dollar Tree. So you can own Dollar Tree, or you can own.
Yeah,
NVIDIA.
They had a rough. They had Take a rough profit report. I saw them down earlier today, around 15%, which. Dollar Tree, in times of where you would think that the economy, right, may be softening, those kind of places tend to do better because you've perceived better deals.
And then you've got AT&T, which pays that big fat dividend. It's down 3.7%. And, you know, look, I mean, one of our favorite writers, I guess infamous, Seeking Alpha. The more you sell AT&T, the more I buy. Okay, fine. You can have it. Here, you want some more? Here you go, pal. I'll back up my truck and dump it on your front lawn. AT&T is one of the ugliest stocks in the entire market. The yield is 7.2%. Well, okay. The stock is down about 33% so far this year, something like that. It was at 21 not too long ago. Now it's at 15. You see how deceptive those yields, dividend yields, can be? Because it's all about total return. Well, your NVIDIA bill only pays, I think it's like 0.1%. Let me see what their dividend yield is. And yes, it's more volatile. Now I don't show a dividend yield for NVIDIA. Well, it must be a discretionary one that they pay from time to time.
But yeah, it could be like
it
a
was like one or two tenths of
1%.
Yeah. It's very small, but it is there, was there. And AT&T is just a big dog loser in the market. Okay, and then, okay, so now just a few more winners here in the market today. Microsoft, we mentioned, up 3.1%. Lam Research is up 4.6%. For me, obviously the stock of the day is NVIDIA. But the second number two is Taiwan Semiconductor. That thing is gaining steam. It's now up 12.5%.
Well, they make and they're the easiest ones to look at in terms of also benefiting, right? If you've had a bump up in NVIDIA, well, then you're as long as they have the capacity to process all those orders, that's who's
NVIDIA
doing it.
Is yeah. getting. Oh my gosh! What
yeah,
and what
Jensen.
A crazy
Jensen
day.
Is the CEO.
Every
once in a while, I think about the picture with him in like a leather jacket, holding up this big NVIDIA chip, and I'm like, man, microchips have gotten a lot bigger since.
They used to be big.
They got small, and they got bigger again.
They're headquartered in Santa Clara, and I'm just looking at a monthly chart here. This stock back in 2002, I got to do the math here on this real quickly. Let's see, in 2002, NVIDIA got down to a split-adjusted low, 60 cents, and today it's 382 from 60 cents. You could do the math
and AMD
on that.
AMD has a similar story. Remember?
I mean,
they were like
story.
Less than $5, I think, sometime in the early 2010s or something of that. Maybe it could even been less for a while. But.
Well, that's today's show. We had a lot to talk about today. And ServiceNow is also up 5.6% today. It's having a big day. Oil is down today. I don't know whether the Saudi Arabia warning shot over the bow. Will they announce an oil cut? Will they announce a production cut this weekend before the big driving season? I think that's a possibility too, as there's. That's another Cold War taking place, is the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and the U.S. And China. So anyways, get the newsletter. If you're missing out every week, you hear about stocks like this, go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, which is our main gig here, 855-611-BESS, or if you'd like to reserve a spot to meet with us in Minneapolis, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.